feel like you mean it, church.
And yes, Jesus is all the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same.
Isn't he lovely? You're happy to be here this morning. And it's just so good to be gathered with you, to see all of your faces. And my, what a glorious time I expect we should have in the Word today. Looking forward to it. We've got Brother Paul LaFontaine. It's good to have Brother Jason Watkins, old friends of the family from a long time ago. It's good to see you, brother. Amen. Just looking forward to that. You know, I think of times of old when saints had to gather in caves and try to hide just to have a moment to worship God. Amen. And yet we have the freedoms to gather like we do. We should take advantage of every moment because it might not be like that very long. Amen. Let's sing together. I don't know about you, but I need some good news this morning. How about you? Amen. Let's sing this. Our God reigns.
How lovely, oh, the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news. Hey, good news announcing.
Our God reigns. I want to praise
the wonders of your might, your mighty love. Oh, my comfort, oh, my shelter, the tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Sing it, church. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us see power and majesty. Mountains bow down, oh, at the sound. I'll sing for joy. Oh, yes, Lord. Forever I love you. Nothing compares. Nothing compares. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Oh, put your hands together and let's praise him some more.
Hallelujah.
Well, these are the days of Elijah, declared the word of the Lord. There we go. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, oh, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee. And out of Zion till salvation come. Well, these are the days of Ezekiel, oh, the dry bones coming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. Oh, and these are the days of the harvest. Oh, those fields are all wide in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, oh, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, come on and lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Here we go now. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, hey, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation come. No God like Jehovah now. There's no God like Jehovah. Come on. No God like Jehovah. There's 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 no God like Jehovah. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, hey, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion to salvation come. Well, lift your voice. Year of jubilee, and out of Zion to salvation comes. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Salvation comes. Amen. Kia G. Oh, every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise, every praise. You know it's to our God. Sing hallelujah, church. Come on now. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Every praise, every praise. You know it's to our God. One more time, every praise. And every praise is to our, oh, every word of worship. Oh, every praise, you know it's to our God. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, every praise, you know it's to our God. God, my Savior. God, my healer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Oh, every praise is to our God. Yeah, every word of worship. Oh, every praise, you know it's to our God. Sing hallelujah, church. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Every praise, oh, it's to our God, God, my Savior. My healer, you're my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm glad he's my deliverer, aren't you, church? Oh, I'm thankful he's a healer, amen? Hallelujah. As we take our knees to the Lord, musicians can play that song softly, and we'll just keep that in our minds, knowing that as we take these knees to the Lord, he already has the answers, amen? And I'm going to invite Brother Jason Watkins, if he would take the honor to take these needs to the Lord for us. If you'd be remembering Brother Troy and Sister Connie in your prayers, we certainly hold them up constantly in prayer. Also the drum family, always praying for them as well. And we want to be mindful of the Whitlock family and Sister Carrie and the situation she's going through with vertigo. You know, that's very taxing for her, so let's keep her in our prayers. Sister Tina also, we're still praying for you, sister. And that God would touch you for your special need there. And we have a special need for Brother Jason. I think it's his niece or great niece, Sister Lisa. Going to be praying for her. Very special need there. She's going to be having surgery. So let's hold that up before you in prayer. Also, for Brother Yeshua's cousin, Amir, he's having an urgent medical issue, and we're going to be holding that need up in prayer. Are there unspoken prayer requests? Amen. God has the answer, friend. We're going to pray with you now as Brother Jason comes.
Amen. Let's pray. Master, we count it a privilege to come before you this morning with needs. You're aware of them all, Lord. Before the foundation of the world, you already had the remedy. Lord, today we're asking for your great blessing upon them all. You heard the list that was read out. They're all close to our hearts today, Lord, and we're looking to you. Father, we're looking to you for all of our answers. We know, Master, that your word, you sent your word and it healed the people. May there be great healing today, Lord, as your word goes forth. How many times I've seen it around the world, Lord, while, just as the Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Spirit of God began to move, oh God. So I pray today that that would be the result of this service, Lord. May hearts look to you right now as we confess and we claim these things to be done. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Jason. You can have your seats. I know I've kept you standing for a long time. It's hard to sing songs of praise and shout when you're sitting, right? Amen. We're going to invite Sister Karen Morglier to come. She has a special, and then right after her, we'll have Sister Grace Brown as well. And while she's coming, let's just sing that song we were playing there, Every Praise. Oh, every praise is to our God. Hey, every word of worship, one accord. Every praise, you know is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise, you know it's to our God. God, my Savior. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
And what I thought
beautiful song. As Sister Grace is getting ready, she can make her way on up to the front here. We're going to take up our morning offering. If the deacons would just come forward at this time. Man, we'll just continue our worship and praise and our tithing and our giving. Amen. And I'll have Brother Ethan to pray over those.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together, Lord. We just ask that you step down into this church, Lord. Just touch every heart, Lord. Just answer the questions that may be on each heart, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you bless this offering. Be with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Sister Grace.
Every heartbreak.
Sister Grace, appreciate that so much. Let's stand together. We're going to invite the pastor to come forward. We have a few words to say. Brother Paul LaFontaine certainly needs no introduction, and so we're certainly looking forward to what he has to say, and I pray that each and every one of you get what God has in store for you. Let's sing this song together as our pastor makes his way forward. Blessed be his name. Blessed be. Oh, blessed be, blessed be your name. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name. Sing it again. Hey, blessed be. Blessed be, blessed be your name. Blessed be, oh, blessed be, blessed be your name. Let your people proclaim, you are holy. Our holy God, as we lift up your name and give glory, oh, glory to your name.
Blessed be,
blessed be, blessed be. Blessed be, oh blessed be, blessed be.
Sing that chorus again now.
Your name.
Blessed be your holy name.
Oh blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name. Blessed be, blessed. Blessed be, blessed be your name.
And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning just for a couple of moments here, very briefly. And we welcome all of you to the house of the Lord today. It's certainly a great day to be in God's house with God's people and to be saved and to know it. It's just a wonderful day to live, I believe, in God's presence. Now, just a couple of very brief things here before we turn it over to Brother Paul. And just wanted to say that we are very grateful for every one of you being here. And a couple of things that we want to just mention, and that is that we have believers who are in the UAE today who put out word that they are without shelter. And the nation of Iran is pot shooting over there. They're just firing missiles out of the country, and there are believers over there that were saying to us if we would remember them in prayer because they have no place of shelter. They don't have safe rooms like they do in Israel in bomb shelters, so it's a bit of an unnerving situation over there. Didn't get all of the prayer requests in there, so I just wanted to mention Michaela Sheffield is away for about a week and a half. Matt Cross is not here today, not feeling well. I also wanted to mention that yesterday was a special day for the Walters, 50th wedding anniversary. God bless you both, and may the Lord give you another wonderful 50 on this side. Oh, dear. All right, Sister Cindy, we'll go for the other side. That'll be just fine. We are honored also to have Brother Anwar and his family here. Brother Anwar is there somewhere. God bless you, Brother Anwar. I'll be leaving after the service today, this morning. And always a blessing to have Brother Anwar with us. Sister Sharon McCafferty is not here as well, not well. And we want to remember her in prayer. We have service at 5 o'clock, and Brother Jason's going to be taking that service. So you want to pace yourself today and get some rest, and if you can, between services, and then be ready for tonight. Wanted to mention that this week is Peter and Rachel's wedding anniversary, right? March 3rd is their wedding anniversary. How many years? 14 years. 14 years. Wow. Wow, that makes me old, isn't it? Sister Florence here this morning. She's not here. It's her birthday on March 4th, and Johnny Reynolds' birthday is here. Brother Johnny, God bless you. Great to have you with us. And then also on March 5th is Loyalty Cockman's birthday as well. Loyalty, how old is she going to be? Royalty, I'm sorry, Royalty. How old is Royalty? 8 years old. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, may the Lord bless you all. I just wanted to say that it was special last night, very special for all of us. And in the end of 2025, can you click that, Jeremy? In the end of 2025, I got together with Sister Karen. And Sister Karen was one of our founding members here, and got together with her, and we just chatted together and talked about hello, and that's just background. That's all it is. And got together and talked a little bit about the fact that it was 20 years since we'd come, and we just thought about this weekend and thought about what we could include, and the banquet and having some of our original members who were here 20 years ago. And so I can honestly say that it exceeded our expectations. It was just a real blessing, and for all of you, you can't, like I said last night, you can't do it by yourself. You have to have just a working, worshipful body of believers, together with all the officers and people who work. And we didn't mention the Sunday school people last night, and just so many different ones. We just appreciated so much. And but I thought today in our worship, I thought it'd be nice to have two services. I thought it'd be nice to have two brothers that we have real confidence in and would be a blessing to you. And so we're just honored to have Brother Paul and his wife, and Brother Jason, his wife, with us today, and taking both services, and we're certainly looking forward to that. So I didn't want to hold up things much longer here, but I just thought I'd throw that in the background there and let you see that. And then our
farewell.
I just wanted to announce this. I was really excited last night. We got a couple of pictures from Botswana, and the first books that we have done for that part of the world in Africa just arrived. Brother Ben sent me pictures, and we're just so excited, and they're delighted to have these books now in their possession. And it's taken us a while to get them there, but I just thank God for Ben and his team and the work that they've done. So we trust it'll be a real blessing to that nation in southern Africa. Also, as well, as a pastor, you have lots of jobs. You're called upon to do lots of different things, and some of those things are happy and positive, and some of those things are not. But today, I would like to say that it is my honor and privilege to be able to present to you Emma and Harrison, who are now engaged to be married. Now, Harrison did it in style. He goes to Central Park in New York City and does it, right? You guys beat that. But I told him last night, you done it. And congratulations to you both. May God bless you in the planning ahead now, and your lives will never be the same ever again. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to sing that little chorus, Worthy is the Lamb. And we're going to invite Brother Paul to come and take the service. And as Brother Jaron said, Brother Paul needs no introduction around here. So we're just honored to have him taking time from the busy schedule and to be here today. So here, you need now to operate your part of the gift, so just enter in and let's just worship him together. Just wanted to say as well that Brother Aaron and Ngamaza and the whole family, a new addition is here today as well. They're in the back, so we want to welcome them back again today. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, oh Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing blood. Now all I know, your forgiveness and
I tell you, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know about you. Amen. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. There's no place I'd rather be than here this morning worshiping the Lord. And David said that before the blood of Calvary, before the seals were opened, before all redemption began its process. And he said he was glad to come to the house of the Lord. I think we ought to be glad to be here this morning. Praise the Lord. And especially the conditions in the last day. We're under dangerous times. We don't know what will happen next. Don't think for a moment that we're safe outside of Jesus Christ. And if you're not in him this morning, you ought to get in Jesus Christ. You ought to surrender your life completely to the Lord and receive the Holy Spirit, because that's the only safety zone. I want to be hidden in Christ. I'm not worried about everything that would happen when I'm hidden in Christ. I'm just glad to be here this morning. God bless you. Thank you for the nice banquet yesterday and just be able to take a moment. God is a God of times of celebration and remembrance, and we learned that from the Old Testament. And so we take these times to honor God and honor our officers and honor the people that serve us. And so it was just a wonderful time. We appreciate it so much. So once again, our friendship with Brother Barry and his faithfulness to the Word through the years. We love it. We appreciate it. It's had a great effect on our lives. Now, the videos this morning as a pre-service, I've never seen pre-service videos like we just seen. I've never seen anything like that before. It's just, hopefully that doesn't create fear in your heart at all. So I say, oh, ye of little faith, oh, ye of little faith. You're the adventurous person, and I should be scared, that's for sure, but I'm not afraid. Praise the Lord. Let's open to Hebrews chapter 11. God bless you this morning, and we trust that we can lend our shoulder to the wheel and find something in the Word this morning that would be a blessing and enrichment to the bride where we are right now. And just we are so blessed to have the Word, and not just the Word, but how it's open to us. And so we just give our gift to the Lord this morning. We appreciate all of you. And that sister that's saying he's been faithful, that's I walked in the office this morning. I said, can anybody sing He's Been Faithful? Because it goes with my service this morning. And they said, there's a sister singing it. So thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. So we find this about our father Abraham, who also was a prophet, and we find this reaction to God speaking to him and him being called and him receiving a revelation and acting on that revelation early on. And he went out not knowing whither he went. So we find that characteristic, even though in the history of Abraham, we know there's mistakes and we know things he'd done. But as far as the revelation, he seems to be catching it because he's acting upon it early on. And then it says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child. I want to just read that again as I speak a little bit on Sarah also receiving strength. Through faith also, because how many of us know that she was a part of the word for that hour? The word could not be fulfilled without Sarah. It wasn't just the prophet, but it was through Sarah as well. So whatever revelation Abraham came to, Sarah had to come to the same revelation. Why? Because she was part of the promise. And the promise could not be fulfilled without her. So through faith also, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Sarah is as I look at her, is an interesting woman. And we'll speak about her a little bit today in this. And she's the mystery of the bride of Christ being there with Abraham to fulfill and bring forth the promised son. And she was a part of that. But we find it's not just about the prophet or her husband being strong. She needed strength. She needed the same revelation. And so we find in this, it's not just about the prophet being enough or her husband being enough. The Bible says Abraham was strong in faith. We don't find that written of Sarah, that she was strong in faith. And yet, even though it wasn't written, she had to receive strength and she had to receive faith as well to come into the same revelation. Can you say amen? Amen. Being strong of faith is not written of her, but this is what's written of her. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen. There's a reason that her final confession was, he's faithful. Amen. And we're going to find that out today. She had to conclude, it's not about her faithfulness, it's about his faithfulness. Amen. What a revelation in itself. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless your word today. I pray you'll continue to bless Hickory Bible Tabernacle and all the saints of God who attend here, Lord, and the pastor and all his helpers. We just pray that you'll give them further years, Lord, before the rapture would come. I pray that you'll continue to bless and multiply and prosper the mission work they're doing, the teaching they're doing, and affecting so many lives. We're all so thankful for it, Father. And we just pray you give them an extra special blessing today in the church and just continue them on. We pray, Father, that you would send us your Holy Spirit this morning in the service. We are glad to be in your house. We are glad to be in the safety of Jesus Christ. Lord, you gave me that song years ago, this world is falling apart. I'm so glad Jesus lives down in my heart. And Lord Jesus, we rest in that today. We pray that you'll help us and strengthen us as you says, the scripture says, you had to strengthen Sarah as well. Strengthen us by your word and faith this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There's a pattern in the Bible that we have observed through the years, and especially of recently, there is a pattern that we see when believers believe the prophet of their age. And this is important, of course, that We believe the word for the age, and usually that comes through a prophet. And so we see a pattern of the believers believing that. But then as they begin to believe it over time, is actually there's patterns that show over time is when they actually would catch the thought of God and really see the message the way that God is seeing it, or see the message the way the prophet is seeing it. And that's my foundation point this morning, is that there are those who believe, and believing is very powerful. It's a wonderful thing. But then there are those that grow into not just believing, but actually seeing it the way the prophet seen it. Because when a prophet sees it, he's seeing this message a completely different way than what we see it from the outside. He's actually pulling from the thoughts of God. And you all have been taught how important it is that we not only believe the message, but we catch the thought of God behind the message, why he sent the message, what the purpose, what the final purpose of it is, that we catch those thoughts and we actually see the message and see the things the way the prophet is seeing it. There are many examples in Scripture. And I remember probably a familiar one to you is, of course, Elisha and Gehazi, when he looked and said, you know, we're surrounded, and there was a host of army behind the enemy that Gehazi could not see. And so now that's an incident where you have a young man, a servant of the prophet. He believed the prophet. He believed he was God's prophet. He trusted him. He respected him. He followed him. He served him. He did everything he could. But in that incident, there's something else that needed to happen. And that is that God, the prophet said to God, Lord, open his eyes that he can see what I'm seeing. You understand? So that's probably a familiar example to you, but it's throughout the Scripture that there's this transition that comes, that it's not just that we believe the message, but we actually can begin to see by revelation the way the prophet is seeing this. So now, and we know that believing, I would never want to underestimate or belittle believing, because we know it's extremely important. You can't begin anywhere unless you believe in Christ. And Christ is the Word made flesh for the hour. Can you say amen? Amen. And so whether you're 10 years old here today or 100 years old, whatever age you are, doesn't matter. You have to have a starting point, and that starting point is that you have to believe. As a matter of fact, our message, it's so important that our entire message was the theme song was Only Believe. The angel enjoyed that song. The angel liked that song, Only Believe. All things are possible if you believe. How many believe that this morning? All things. So the whole message was based upon you have to begin to believe. And the first and second poll, of course, was things that put out there that God did in order to cause the people to get the trust to believe and to come forward and to be able to come towards God and begin to believe all things are possible. Begin to believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does that. But we know that just coming and believing that the message is here, of course, we know now that's not enough. Believing that far is not enough. Can I get an amen this morning? And so believing, I never want to underestimate that or put it down, but the entire message is based upon beginning that all things are possible, and so trusting in his word. But you see now that there are some that are slower than others to come into greater levels of believing and to come into greater levels of receiving. And everybody is at their own pace based upon their rebellion, their stubbornness, based upon some childhood thing that makes them have a lack of trust. There's a lot of, every one of you have a story. And that story can sometimes inflict your believing and hold you back from trusting completely. That can have an effect on you. And so now, listen, God knows all of that. God knows your biography. God knows your life. God knows your first book. He's aware of everything you individually. He knows your story. But if you're called of God, he takes the story and he's going to strengthen you and bring you to the promise of the hour, despite your background, despite your unbelief, despite all the things that you have been through. Your life story is not your final story, but you're in the new Lamb's Book of Life. Can I get an amen this morning? So now we see then that even Jesus refers to the disciples. He says, fools, I just want you to catch these scriptures now as I quickly put them out. Fools of heart and slow, he told the disciples there, Oh, fools of heart, and slow to believe. That's a term that's there. Slow to believe all that the prophets have said. So now you have elect sometimes that are slow to believe. And Sarah was slow. And Sarah was not catching things quite as quickly as Abraham. But Sarah had to catch up because God could not proceed until she caught up. And she was, because we know she was a part of this. And so now there's a transition that we see in the woman that's part of the mystery, part of the plan, part of what's going to take place. She's so much an integral part that God had to give her an extra measure of his grace, an extra abundance of grace in her mistakes. We see grace on Abraham's life, but we really see it over Sarah's life. Can I get an amen this morning? I'm going to preach whether you say amen or not, because I'm pretty excited about this. Grace in that time is needed, but sometimes even abundant grace is needed because there are those that are slow of heart to come along. Not everybody catches it as quick as everybody else. We each have our own place, our own story, our own life. And so she was slow and she didn't catch it as quick, but God could not proceed until she caught it. And she had to receive strength to fulfill this promise. And so there's a transition. There's a transition from, and we know that Brother Branham mentioned the transition from the prophet to the prophecy. And he mentioned John the Baptist, and when he spoke, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then we see that transition going from the prophet. And Brother Branham says, now it goes from the prophet to the prophecy. Yeah. So there's a transition that takes place from the prophet to the prophecy. And when that takes place, then you can't go back and just keep emphasizing the prophet. You can't go back and just have your faith in believing God sent a prophet. But that transition is to come to a place that now we move into the prophecy, and many times the people are a part of that prophecy. So the prophet, of course, at every age is seeing the message different. He's seeing it not just in words. He's not just speaking the message, but he's speaking it with the thought of God behind it. And that is so extremely important that he's speaking it, but it's not just words, of course. It's the spoken word of God. It's the power of God behind the words, but it's the thoughts of God behind it. And the prophet knows that because he catches the thought of God. He speaks it, but when he speaks it, I believe the prophet many times has an understanding of the purpose of why God is sending it. And so he's caught the thought behind it. God's people must catch this too, or they are held back from the complete promise. And let me say this, the people can make a lot of mess of the prophet's message in the meantime by not catching the thought of God. So now if I said that 50 years ago, just after the prophet left or whatever, you may not understand, but all of you understand when I say the people and sometimes the preachers can make a mess of this message. And what does it really go back to? They have the message, they believe it, but they have not caught the thought of God behind this message. You can make a big mess of the very pure prophet's message. Because why? The bride has to also catch the thought and the way the prophet is seeing it. Is this okay this morning? So now, like in Sarah, you know, she finally seen, and this is just a beautiful thing to me. She finally seen, and I say finally because she didn't come very quick. Matter of fact, when we read Hebrews 11 here, she's made it to the heroes of faith. There's only two or three women that's mentioned in there, but she's made it to Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith chapter. She's made it there, but if you looked at her story and looked how long it took for her to really be on board, you'd be wondering, I don't know if she qualifies. You know, we're always qualifying people. We're always putting people in categories. And there's one thing I'd like to say to us this morning in this message is that we really don't have a right to put anybody in a category because we don't know who's who. I should get a bigger amen than that because I don't find Brother Branham. He had to preach predestination. He had to preach the four different types of predestination. He had to bring that truth. But in his attitude, he never personally would put somebody in a category. If a prophet a few times with Elvis, it looks like it, but he was very cordial. He was very respectful. He was very nice to denominational people. He never took the Christ away from that they had, what level they had. And I think in our ranks, we should be careful that we don't put anybody in a category because we don't know who's going to come. And even people sitting among us, we don't know how slow they'll come. Amen. But if they're a God, they're coming anyway.
Amen.
Sarah was she was very slow. If you read her story, and we'll comment a little bit about it. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. So whatever faith is not just believing, but it's the evidence of things. So it's seeing the unseen. There's another scripture that says, we look to the eternal, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen, they're eternal. And we are to be a people that does not look at just the seen things and the visible things. We're not to be social media and draw conclusions from people's lives and from the message from social media. Right. We live by the unseen. What is God doing in the unseen? And so, praise the Lord this morning when Sarah finally seen it, the way the prophet seen it, when she did, she received supernatural strength. Amen. When Sarah seen it, and we don't even know when that happened. We just know it happened. There's no identification with it because I'm going to go into it a little bit here in a minute that even when the Son of Man was revealed, she's got a sarcastic heart towards this whole thing. Still, even though Elohim is in just the front room of her house, front room of her tent, and she's still laughing in her heart. So, but you see now, she, somewhere along the line, Sarah received supernatural strength to bring forth the promise, and her body was changed, of course, and everything was changed. Now, Sarah herself, and that's how I worded it this morning, Sarah also received strength. I like how it's worded, Sarah herself. Sarah herself received strength. It talks about Abraham, but then Sarah herself. You know, this is a personal thing. This is a personal revival. This isn't sitting around and glorifying a prophet all the time. I hope that doesn't hurt you, but there's way too much atmospheres that just sit and feel a comfort blanket of telling all the stories of the prophet and all the things that God did through the prophet. I love to hear it. I draw faith from it. But you see, this isn't just about the prophet. Sarah was a part of the prophet's promise. Sarah needed to see it and catch the thought of God as well. Because she had a part of it. Can you say amen? So here's Sarah now. She receives strength. And it's not just the prophet, but Sarah herself. Sarah also received strength. And for years, and you see, friends, if God sent a prophet, I believe that we've been blessed to receive that in this last hour, bringing the finalization of Abraham's seed in the end time. We are Abraham's royal seed. But he does it the same prophet. He has a prophet. He sends the Son of Man. And that son of that prophet, the Son of Man meets with the Son of Man. He reveals the Son of Man. But you see now, even that revelation is not just one man. The Son of Man mystery is not just one man, but it's a husband and wife. If you look up the quotes, you'll find one quote that says, when he mentions the Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, one place he said husband and wife. So it's not a one-man ministry. And by the way, it's still not a one-man ministry. If you're used to that one ministry, then you try to continue that. And we need one or two men, and they're going to lead the bride. No. The Son of Man goes from one-man ministry, then it goes to a many-member bride. It did that when the first time the Son of Man came. And then it broke into 120 on the day of Pentecost. That ministry broke into message churches, the Corinthian church, the Ephesian church. And those were little message churches that come up as a result of the ministry of the Son of Man. But it wasn't just one man. It was a many-membered body.
Amen.
And the same transition takes place now. And so that's a transition I feel that not too many are able to make, they don't make it from believing to really seeing what this is and seeing what the prophet's seeing and seeing your identity in it. And Brother Brown preached that great message about Job. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now I see thee. So even though Job was doing everything that he should do, and he never lost his respect for God, he was encouraged by his wife to just throw in the towel and everything, but he never lost any of that. But yet, through all of that trial, he did not see it the way God seen it. He didn't see what the purpose was. He didn't see the revelation of resurrection. And so he said, I've heard of thee. But then eventually he said, I now see thee.
Yeah.
That's a very pivotal message that Brother Brand's preaching, because he's showing us it's not just hearing of him. It's not just believing God sent a prophet. But it's what we see. So God is trying to show Sarah who she was. She was part of the promise. And Sarah was with the prophet from the very beginning. Of course, she was married to Abraham. And he was the prophet. She was married to him. And, you know, she could have left early on. But in all this time, Abraham saying, this is what God told us. This is what God told me. God told me that we're going to have a son. They were barren. They could never have a son. So, but if you look now, Sarah didn't catch that early. But out of her respect, she believed the prophet. Out of her respect, she said, at a certain level, she believed it, or she never would have stayed there with Abraham.
Yeah. Yeah.
She would have stayed in the heathen country. My husband's went off his rocker. I mean, he's old. I mean, something's going on with him. And so, you know what? This is more crazy than he's ever been. And so she could have just jumped out, but she didn't do that. She stayed with the message. But it was a long time before she caught the thought of God. By her own revelation, she had to believe at the same level to follow him all of those years. At some level, she believed, but then she had to believe at the same level as him. So all of these years, she, you know, Sarah, she did all the right things.
Yeah.
Amen? She followed all in the right way. She just did everything right. She called her husband Lord.
Yeah, sure.
Wow. Amen. Hope you're all awake this morning. So, you know, she's following along, I guess, out of her respect. But the scripture clearly declares that even though outwardly she was following along and following Abraham, inwardly, when the Son of Man appeared, inwardly, she still has in her heart a huge amount of unbelief. She's not on board. In her heart, she's not on board yet. And in her heart, she's still got a bit of a sarcasm about all of this. And so she laughs in her heart. The angel detects it, of course, and says, why did Sarah laugh? And then she denies it. Then she's, you know, we think she's really in trouble now. And so now, you know, the quote Brother Bram says, but, you know, he couldn't destroy her. That would have been it for she's done. She's finished. But she was part of Abraham. And if she's part of Abraham and she's part of the message and part of the prophet, she had to see it the way Abraham seen it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So, but her actions revealed in her story that she was not on board completely, even though she maybe, and she even tried to bring the promise in her own strength, in her own mind. And that's what's the problem with us. We try to figure things out. We try to, you know what we do? It's called overthinking. Sarah, because she didn't have a full revelation yet, she was overthinking this. And how many months did it take her to say, okay, if my husband says this, I'd really like it to happen. I'd like to have a child, but it's not happening. Maybe God meant for it to come through Hagar. So in her lack of something, she would, listen, friends, in our lack of seeing things right, we can produce some Ishmaels. I hope I'm not being too hard this morning. I'm preaching at myself just like you. But listen, if we don't see this right, we can produce wrong things.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah. So she said, go with Hagar. She did this in her own thoughts, in her own effort, without a revelation herself. Abraham is excited, you know, and he's already along. And it's funny in the story, God is, you know, he's meeting with Abraham in different ways. And he meets Melchizedek. Abraham probably comes home that day and says, you know, I met the king of Salem today. I met Melchizedek, the king of Salem. And she goes, where's he from? Well, he's not from anywhere. Nobody knows where he's from. You know, as he come home and said what God was saying, if Sarah's the way I'm thinking she was, she's thinking her husband's going off the rocker even more. You met a king, but you can't tell me who he's the king of. Yeah. No, because nobody knows who he is. But I met him. I had lunch with him. I talked to him. And by the way, Sarah, he told me that I'm the possessor of heaven and earth. And so, you know, I could go on and on about Abraham coming home. And God only spoke to him every so often, but Abraham's coming home and telling this to a woman now that is not completely on board yet. So it's even more crazy. Can you say amen? He walked in one day and he said, hey, Sarah. And she goes, what did you call me? I said, Sarah. She said, that's not my name. You know, we've been married all these years. My name is Sarai. Why did you just call me Sarah? Because I met the Lord and he changed my name. Okay. Yep, Sarah, God spoke to me and changed my name. And guess what? He changed yours too. You're no longer Sarai. You're Sarah. Okie dokie. Sarah didn't catch it. My husband's, you know, he's really going off the deep end here. If she laughed in her heart before the Lord when the Son of Man was there, what is she saying when God changed your name to Sarai to Sarah? And she didn't have a revelation of that, but there was a revelation behind that. Jewish interpreters said that Yahweh added the H from his name, Yahweh's name, to Abraham's. He put his name in Abraham's name to give a share in his creative power. That's not from the message. That's what the Jewish interpreters say what that was. He put an H in his name because he was going to share in his creative power. Why did Abraham need this power? Because he and his wife Sarai, whose name God also changed to Sarah, putting the H in her name as well. It was not just Abraham. He said God also changed Sarah by adding the H because they were barren and they were going to have a son together. And so God injected his own name in there.
Amen.
Abraham says, from this day forward, you are Sarah, my beloved sweetie wife. And knowing her heart laughed after that, you just wonder, I just try to put myself in the thoughts of Sarah. She's probably saying, you know, my husband is going off the deep end. He's a few fries short of a happy meal. I mean, Abraham, the lights are on, but nobody's home. I love old people. I really do. That's probably what she's saying. So she says, you know, Abram, whatever you need to call me, dear, is fine. But she didn't have a revelation of it. I mean, he could have Googled and read it to her. This is what this means when God puts an H in your name. But she didn't catch it. Because doing that, God's identified himself with his daughter, and his daughter's going to identify with him. She's going to find her true identity. It's a powerful thing. Can you say amen? So she didn't catch, even when the name change took place, that I'm changing your identity to the true you. But later she caught the thought of what God actually thought of her. We don't know when, but she caught it. She received strength. She received revelation. And then we would think she would have changed when angels were at her house. And Abraham goes out there and meets the three men. He invites them into the outer part of the tent. I believe it is. She's back in the kitchen area. And so these guys arrive. He comes back and whispers in the tent. And this is just like a husband too. Hey, we're having company. And she goes, when? They're already here. Isn't that typical of a husband, you know? It's just like, you didn't tell me anything. You didn't tell me. You didn't warn me. Can you put a little something together? You got a little something. And you know what? Make it perfect, because I believe these are men of angels and Elohim at our home. So you know what? Make it perfect. Isn't that like a husband? Don't just throw something together. And, you know, but you see, you know, all of this is showing, and even when the Son of Man revealed himself, revealed Sarah's heart. I just want you to notice this. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm telling you what the Bible says. This is the woman, the only woman that will fulfill this promise. And she's in front of Elohim, and she is not only laughing at what he said, I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. And he says, why did Sarah laugh? And she says, I never laughed. She lied to him. It's amazing. It's amazing to see where she's at even right there. And I don't know, it just tells me that just because people are at all the conventions and seeing all the miracle signs and wonders, and seeing all and hearing the very best of preaching, I say that respectfully, doesn't always guarantee that someone's heart is fully on board. Because it's not just that you're at the convention or at the meeting, it's that what's going on in that heart. Are you all in? Are you sold out, lock, stock, and barrel? Have you seen your part in this? And are you seeing it the way the prophet is seeing it? She needed to see the unseen. I'll quote that scripture again to you in 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look at the things which are seen, look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want you to write that scripture down, 2 Corinthians 4:18. So when following the Lord, just say these things. When following the Lord, the five senses can't be trusted. How many know that? The five senses can't be relied upon. We have to pray to see the way God sees everything. We can't judge matters by the flesh and act too quickly. So let me just transition to another part. We must be careful. If we don't see it the way God sees it, then we must be ever so careful that we don't judge matters by the flesh, by these eyes, and act too quickly or conclude too quickly about somebody else, about a pastor, about church life. We must live in the Spirit. We must look to the unseen. We must always be looking to what the way God is seeing things. Can I get an amen? Amen. We must pray and say, God, let me see the bigger picture. Don't let me look at a little problem in the church and make a little problem a big problem. Amen. Let me see this the way God sees it. Let me see the expected end. Let me see the end result of this. And let me pray for that person. Even a brother, a few months ago, we had someone sowing so much discord. We're going to have that. Someone trying to sow the seeds of discord. But even if that happens in a church, which it will, and causes some tension and causes things to be a bit tight sometimes, I don't care what the devil brings to a local church. The devil can never change the thought of God for that church.
Amen.
I just want to say that to Hickory Bible Tabernacle. You've got blessings. You've given the missions. There's so many successes, but it hasn't been all sweet probably. If you're like my church, it hasn't been good. People sow discord. People live all kind of lives. People come and go. People leave after many years. All that, you go through all that, but it'll never, if God had a thought for Hickory Bible Tabernacle to accomplish an end,
amen,
there's nothing that can happen in that church,
amen,
that's going to stop the thought of God.
Amen.
Praise God. Let me encourage you this morning. Let me encourage you. But we have to see things the way God sees them. We must not act or speak too quickly. We must not prejudge people based upon just the flesh. Because you might get 5 years from now and have to admit, I was completely wrong how I judged that situation. Most people don't come back and apologize for that, but they should. God shows us things. He shows us. I love that song I was telling Brother Keith about last night. If he knew it, I was going to have him sing it. Things, the McCammies sing, things look different from the mountain, from the shepherd's point of view. Things look different from the mountain, from the shepherd's point of view. We looked down. We went through things in the valley, but the shepherd was watching
over it from a different point of view. Can I get an amen this morning? We can't trust the five senses. And, you know, we can't judge things from a human standpoint in this message or through our senses. Most of the trouble within our group sometimes is not seeing the message and the people from God's viewpoint. There's always a bigger picture. Here's a wonderful quote that Brother Sam Browning gave me a few months ago, text to me, and I preached some services on it. I just love this. One of my favorites lately, so I'm going to read it to you this morning. Wonderful quote that ties all this together. It's probably where I got this little message. We must be able to see how God sees things. Abraham seen the unseen, and that was settled for him. But Sarah needed to see the unseen. Look at this quote. I stole this from Brother Sam. Now listen, church. I want to drop this in here. Do you guys have those quotes of the first one? Or do I need to do it here? Do I need to have a lesson on tech right now? Listen, church. I got this right here. I don't know what to do with it, but I'll either point at it and do something, or I'll hit it. That's what I usually do. Shake up the screen. So listen, church, I want to drop this in here. Listen closely to this. If you don't get anything else today, listen to this. I want to drop this in here because I believe the Holy Spirit told me to do it. You may be sitting there, which some of you are, I know who you are, disagreeing with me right now. Now, I can call your name if you want me to, so I know that. But I also can see farther than that. That you're going to believe it one of these days. What a prophetic guy. And that's why I'm saying he's not functioning or preaching just on the temporal. He's functioning as a prophet with the eagle eyes. Can you say amen? And he can even see into the future of that person's life who's sitting there and resisting. Amen. He said, I know you're disagreeing, so I know that. But I can see farther than that, that you're going to believe it one of these days. So I'm just going to put this in so you understand. So I can give you a little spot of grace here. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you a little spot of grace here. When ain't going to be too long till you're going to change your mind, some of you. Some of you won't. But remember, when Sarah first heard that man, when she's a type of the church, when she heard that, seeing that sign take place to Abraham, she actually laughed about it in her heart and she disbelieved and doubted it ever being so. Is that right? At that time, God would have rubbed her name off. That's right. But he couldn't. She's part of Abraham. They are one. And if you've really not been excited, if you're really now not been excited, not worked up in emotion, not got some church creed, but really received the Holy Ghost, and you're really a part of Christ, and still a little skeptic in your mind, God will not shove you off from that because he can't. You're part of Christ. He'll bring you to truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah! It's powerful, friends. It's powerful. Not even that person can see their future, but that prophetic eye, they can see, and God is speaking, not from right now. And that's why I say we need to be careful how we judge people.
Amen.
The word judges, let it judge, but we need to be careful we don't conclude about somebody. And I was just in Costa Rica at a little youth retreat, about 50 young people. Beautiful group of young people and also about 10 from Chile. And we had a wonderful time there. Another minister speaking with me there. And so, you know what? This girl came in. There was a few of them kind of, you know, they look kind of rough. But this one girl, she was really looking rough. And she had been back, so I left many years to the pastor's church there. Brother Eric Chacon is his name. Wonderful pastor. And she had left as a little girl and she was away from God. And, you know, she was a mess. She had, you know, real tight dresses on and a slit, and she's very immodest how she was dressed most of the camp, and she had real canary looking hair. I don't know, it wasn't red, it was really orange or something, and it looked so, you know, she's obviously, you're looking and, you know, you're saying, okay, well, she's different than the crowd here. And so she's all, but my wife said she watched her as each meeting and each teaching went on, and God was just breaking her, and she wept while the word was going forth, and God was dealing with her. Continue to deal with her. And to come up, then as soon as that altar call, the last service, she was up there ready for prayer, ready to receive Christ and come back to Christ.
Thank you,
was baptized the next afternoon. We baptized four there. For some who had been away from the Lord, some fresh just from the world. And God dealt with their hearts through the teaching and through the preaching. And there she was, and I got pictures of her being baptized. I text last week because she was on my heart. I asked the pastor how she said he's been in church every service. Amen. Receiving Amen. The word of God. Amen. If we'd have judged from the outside. Right. Come on now. Amen. If we'd have put her in a, get her quickly all dressed upright, we might have bypassed God dealing with the heart. How much of this has gone on? Praise the Lord. I'll tell you another testimony in a minute. Hopefully I'll remember it. But look at this saying here. He said, let me give you right now a little spot of grace. Let me give you a spot of grace. Even though they were critical, he's looking through other eyes at that person. He's seeing them different than even when they seen themselves. They could not see through the prophet's eyes yet of who they would be. So I'm just going to say this. It's interesting to me that people view others outside of what we believe so critical. Am I allowed to say that? I already said it. It's interesting to me that people view others outside of what we believe very critical. And yet I don't see that in the prophet. In fact, there are many attitudes expressed of pride that I just don't see it in the prophet. Why? Maybe because we're not looking at the message the way he was. It says in God, I don't have the quote, God in simplicity, beginning the seals, he says, the fellowship is under the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe that the entrance to that blood is through the word of God. I believe that. But you said, under the shed blood is where we find fellowship. And we could shake a hand to a brother who's kind of, I forget the term he used, just kind of out of the way or a mess or awkward. He kind of acts funny, awkward. But if he's under the shed blood, we can shake hands with him and call him brother. Now, this was the attitude that was expressed by Brother Branham after the seals. So if we change that attitude after the seals, there's something wrong with us. Because if he had a man who believed where he believed, he could respect them. He could still preach the word, but he could respect him. I don't usually get as many amens in this, but I'm going to say that I pray for me first that we would develop the same. If we have something so, I like to say it this way, friends, that we have received the greatest message and revealing of Christ that has hit planet Earth. Young people, I don't know how you see this message today, and I don't know what you're looking at on the internet. You ought to stop looking at all that, and you ought to hear me to say, this message, don't let the devil taint it for you. Yes, this is the greatest revealing, not of William Branham, it is the greatest revealing of Jesus Christ Amen. That's Amen. Ever hit planet Earth. Amen. And we are stewards of it. Amen. We are carriers of it. We are preachers of it. We are mothers with children and homes, and we represent this thing. I think we ought to represent it the very best of our attitude, the very best of how we treat other people. I don't think we should be putting people in a category and calling them serpent seed when we don't know if they are or not. I don't think we should watch what we say about the people who are leaving. Because listen, I've got a God. He's got their number. And if they're one of his, I don't care how far they go. I believe our Father will bring his own back to him. Amen. And you put them in a category. You say, okay, they're finished. Because they're not believing it yet the way that you believe it. The way they're supposed to believe it. I don't justify rebellion. Rebellion is real. They're going to pay for their rebellion. If they're disrespectful to God's servant, touch not my prophets, do my anointed no harm. But you know what? That's still between them and God. They probably pay in some ways, but oh, that's not what I desire. I don't want them to pay. Abraham didn't want Lot to pay. Abraham did. He was the only hope that Lot had. Abraham's up there saying he's serpent seed. He didn't receive the message of the age. He's gone down to Sodom. His wife wants her makeup and everything. He's getting what he deserves. You don't find that attitude in Abraham. Amen. And if we're the seed of Abraham, we ought to find the same attitude that some people's only hope is our prayer.
Amen.
And our pleading with God. This thing could wrap up. I don't think one bomb's going to hit. I think it's been told. Not one bomb will hit here and the bride's going to be gone. How close are we? How much heart of Abraham should we say, oh God, if there's 50, would you spare it? If there's 30, save my children. Save my cousins. Save my loved ones, Lord. Nobody else is praying that because why? We know the time. We know where we stand. And intercession is the love of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we're not looking at the message sometimes the way the prophet was looking at it. I just pause a minute. My son Solomon has a new coffee shop. That was his dream, to have a coffee shop. And he wanted to make it, you know, based on the Lord and Christian principles. And so the whole community within 3 months has caught this. It's faith-based. It's got the right things and the right atmosphere, but they're commenting not just about the coffee, but the atmosphere. You see tons of people in there every day with their Bibles open and doing their devotion there. It's beautiful. So this one fella comes in the other day, and he goes to Solomon. He says, what are you doing to my daughters? My daughters come in here. They're teenage girls. They're coming in here every day, but they're changing. Now, after talking to Solomon, this man's an atheist. He hasn't brought his children up, you know. And so this man's an atheist, and he lets Solomon know that. He says, but I don't know, what are you doing? There's something changing in my daughters. And he just said, well, we're God-based here. He witnesses, you know, we're just, and he just says a few things. And he says, all right. And he goes back to his car, comes back. He said, where's your church? And Solomon told him, just down the road here. And I don't think he told him my dad, he don't like to say my dad's the pastor. I don't know. He didn't say that. But he came. That Sunday he came. Brother Timothy Hayton was speaking, I believe. And from that service, God is dealing with this man. So I've been in touch with him. Even yesterday he's texting me. Now I've never witnessed to an atheist before. So, you know, I'm saying, Lord, lead me and guide me. Because this fellow, he's hungry, you can tell. And but the next day after that service, supernatural, I believe it was, we met. And I said, well, you're that man to come to our church. He said, oh, you were there too? I said, yeah, I'm the pastor. You're the pastor? He said, that guy from Hickory, North Carolina, he spoke. So we connected. And then I said, what did you think of the service? He said, well, I got a couple problems with it. So he gave me a couple things that he disagreed with, of course. And then I said, did you get anything out of it that was good? He says, yeah, this was good, this was good. I haven't heard this before. So it's very intellectual, very, you know, very much resistant towards God. He's got a lot of things going on in his life. But you know what? My point I'm making is that we need to be available. If we really believe what we believe, that guy may resist what I'm saying. He's not resisting it, but he may resist it and not come back for 5 years. But my job is to treat him in the right way, because the only Christ you'll see is in me. Right? And so, yeah, he's just texting me yesterday. I'm rejoicing because I'm giving him little small things. I sent him a sermon, and it just leading along somebody who doesn't know hardly anything and wants to learn about God. I want to be available to anybody. One of his troubles with the churches and Christianity, all pretenders, and he's hungry for something real. And I said, praise the Lord, that's good. Amen. Be careful how you judge somebody. They may be a Sarah. Maybe they can't see it yet. Maybe they're under a spirit. Someone may be under a spirit temporarily. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. If we judge by the flesh and blood, we won't judge properly. Many spirits drive people, but we are to look beyond the person. Just like the song says, he looked beyond my faults and he saw my need. We must look that way. So we must be careful. There are ones that we write off too quickly. Is this okay with everybody? There are ones we write off so quickly and too quickly. Saul was changed to Paul. If you would have, Saul was not the person that you would choose to be the prophet of the age or the person that was going to lead the Gentiles or any of that. If he breathed out threatenings against the people of God, he said all this stuff, but God had his number. God had a date set in his calendar, a circled date that he was going to draw and change Saul to Paul. He was voted least likely to be a message believer. You would have even probably seen it that way. This is the last person on the list. And yet God had his number. Don't write them off. He was chosen of God. The person you say is nothing because he don't see what you see may turn out to be the next powerhouse for God. Praise the Lord. Faith looks beyond. Grace is always there to take the person to the purpose that God has for them. And we must see grace like that and not put restrictions on it. Now I'm going to just transition a little bit here and bring something else in. I think I have time to do it. No amens to that, but I'll amen myself. I'm going to Jeremiah 29, whether you guys want to or not. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10 says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I can't read the whole chapter, but we know where this sits, where it must have been a wonderful thing for the people that were already in captivity, receiving initial letters from the prophet, spoken word books from the prophet. And in those spoken word books, it said many things. There was a lot of rebuke in those spoken word books. There was a lot of reasons he gave the people why you went into Babylon, your mistakes, your rebellion, you got away from God, and now you're in exile, and God said you would go into exile. And so they get all these letters from there. But in this one, it must have been quite a moment to hear the words read in this particular spoken word book, because this one began to change its tone a little bit. And you know what it was related to? He said these words, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Now for me, I don't know about them, but they would have been perking up right then and saying, "I really want to know what God thinks of me. I know his rebuke. I know what he said. I know why I'm here in Babylon. I know why all this happened. I've heard it from the prophet. I know what rebellion looks like, and I'm standing in it. But I really, at the end of the day, I want to know what God really thinks of me." Amen. Isn't that our desire? Amen. What are his thoughts towards me? What is his expected end? What does he have in mind, even with all my mistakes and my rebellion? What does God think of me? I imagine they were on the edge of their seat listening to this. And he says, "I know the thoughts that I think." Let me just finish it. "I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall search with me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I cause you to be carried away captive." I believe that young man sang last night. I don't know if he's here. He sang of redemption. He says, "I got away from the Lord, but he was so broken to be back and sing that song, then he ran to me." That's exactly how it happens. Can you say, man? When God's got a date circled on his calendar, and I'm going after my son. Amen. And to redeem him. Amen. To hear that, they heard their mistakes and other messages. They'd heard the path that they took over the years, exiled them to Babylon. Because a true prophet won't hold back the rebuke. Don't take all the parts of rebuke out of the prophet's message. Don't take all the parts about modesty out. It's not Brother Bram's opinion. He's pulling from the mind of God. No young girl, no older. I can't believe some of these older women, just they ain't got it yet. But listen, don't ever label Brother Branham as being some, his opinion, he's pulling from his just to bring bondage to the women. You have completely missed it. God is restoring the dignity of a woman by telling what a woman is and what a man is. And did we ever need that? Telling how a godly woman dresses and how she acts, how she covers up, how she acts, a beautiful woman to her husband, to her boyfriend. Listen, God was not trying to be in bondage. God was rebuking out of his love because he's pulling from the mind of God. He hasn't expected in for your life, young girl. He hasn't expected in for your life. But they heard the rebuke, and then he gave the exact time when it all ends, 70 years. Another false prophet was there saying, well, and he was weighing, trying to make the time shorter. He was weighing in maybe because the people were saying 70 years. That's what the prophet said. Oh, no, not that long. Maybe out of emotion, Hananiah prophesied, it'd probably just be 2 years. Yet in this letter was this personal message to his elect. I'm going to bring you back to Jerusalem, like I said. I'm going to gather you together from all places. At the end of 70 years, there'll be a shout, there'll be a voice, there'll be a trump. This 70 years will end. I'll bring you back to the place you belong. Redemption was just in that one sentence. All redemption's there. Grace was there because they needed grace to hear this word, to catch God's thoughts. And then in this message letter with these words, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They get a window into what God really thinks of them. It's not his anger. It's in this letter, it's not his anger. It's not his rebuke. It's not his temporary judgment. It's his real thoughts about his elect. Amen. I tell you, the message will look different to us unless we catch his thought about you. We love to hear what God thinks of us, truly thinks of us. Nothing more than we desire than to hear what God thinks. You know why his thoughts are so important to us? Because his thoughts are greater and will always be greater than any temporary state that we're in. At the end of all this, it's not what you think that God thinks of you. It's not what others think of you. It's not what you think of yourself, and it's certainly not what the devil thinks about you. Can I say that again? This might be a good refrigerator quote for you this week. Print it up on your printer and put it on there. Put Paula Fontaine on it. Exploration expert to Antarctica. We're going to go take the polar plunge. We're just going to do it. That's it. You don't even know what that is, so. At the end of all this, it's not what you think that God thinks of you. It's not what others think of you. It's not what you think of yourself, and it's certainly not what the devil thinks of you. It's what he thinks of you.
Amen.
Because before Israel's rebellion, before their mistakes, before being in bondage in Babylon, before a life that was not perfect, they were God. There was God's. Before they did all that, there was God's thoughts of them, and that thought was greater than all that had happened in all their captivity. That thought would actually, that's the power that would bring them out of their captivity. That thought had an expected end. It would raise them. It's amazing that this time period was 70 years. Today, the global life expectancy is about 73 years. Whew, about 73 years. That's all we get. That's the average. Some of us are almost home. Might as well admit it. Look how close that is to the 70 years, the average life on earth. Look at our life. Look at our story. Look at all of our stories. Some of the stuff that's happened to us we don't like. Maybe a lot of it we don't like. We would trade our story with anybody else's. And through all of it, we go through things. We second guess ourselves. We try to think of all in our minds. We try to think how to fix things. We get bitter sometimes. But if we love God, we wonder. If we really love God, we wonder, but what good does God really think of me? What is his purpose? What is his plan? He knows the thoughts that he has of you.
And guess what? They haven't changed. In the 70 years, God's thoughts of Israel never changed. It won't change. It won't change the end result. Whatever happens here will work out. I love this. Whatever happens here will work around the thoughts of God and end up subject to his thoughts. You realize that, right? That's how powerful it is. Whatever happens in your 70 years or 80, whatever you get, whatever happens will never, will always work around the thoughts of God and end up subject to his thoughts. That's how powerful they are. Catching God's thoughts behind the message. I'm making some final points here. Catching God's thoughts behind the message he sends takes years sometimes. A lot of our trouble has been this very thing, not catching the thought of God and seeing this message the way the prophet seen it. A lot of trouble in our life is we really don't see it the way that we should see it. There's no way you're acting on the thought of God when you have fruits coming of denomination, of division, of bashing one another, of staying continually critical of one another. There's no way that those actions are acting on the thought of God. God has time before his thoughts are caught by his people. And let me just say this. There is an enormous amount of grace in those times of trouble. Amen. Yes. A lot of reason because of the way we act. Trying to find a place to wrap it up here. We should be careful that we don't inject our own thoughts like Sarah did. That we overthink and try to think things through too much. We must be careful that we don't draw our own conclusions and become your own belief system based upon some of the message. You make judgments based upon your own conclusions. There's only one mind that had a perfect thought as soon as it thought it, and it wasn't ours. Our mind is always to be corrected. Last Sunday I preached it to be transformed. The power of transformation is the only place Brother Branham mentions the word power in a title. The power of transformation. And that means that this word, the same word in the beginning, had power in it to change and transform what was there and chaos and transform it into a son and daughter of God. That's what it's doing today. This word has power to transform over time. Sometimes it's not overnight. In fact, most times it's not overnight. You receive the Holy Ghost and you receive the power of the Holy Ghost to begin that transformation. But you know what he said? Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It has to be corrected. Our minds have to be corrected. Our minds have to be submissive. It has to be changed. I don't care if you're 70 years old. Your thinking has to be removed. It works with the thoughts of God or it gets in the way. Can you say amen? So many different opinions and things that voices we can listen to. You know, I think about my own struggle with my weight. I'm honest about it. But, you know, I get more opinions about what to do. And I have taken every pill. I've taken everything. There's hundreds of opinions. Even the first time I went to the doctor about it 15 years ago, I didn't go about that. I just said, you know, I got this and this. And they said, we've checked you out. You only have one problem. You're fat. That was 15 years ago. And they're still saying that the doctors, you only have one problem, you're fat. I said, I want a second opinion. And the nurse said, you're fat. So that's the second opinion. I mean, just, you know, and it continues on, and everybody has this thing, and I pray one of those things help, you know. And I got my wife, and I know she loves me, and she's got me on this steps app, you know, so many steps a day. And you know what I got for my birthday last year? I got a not Cabela's, not Bass Pro Shop. My birthday, I get a blood pressure monitor. That's where things are going. So my birthday is coming up next month, and I'm just wondering, what's next? You know, like, my bedstand is full of, you know, vitamins and 50 different things.
and my CPAP tube is coming over. Blood pressure, there's tubes everywhere already. I don't even have any more room for another piece of medical device on my bedstand. I just been thinking lately, I can simplify this. I'm going to do it publicly. I can simplify this because I get so many opinions. You know what it is? I love peanut butter. I love it. I'm just admitting it. I don't have that much, but I love peanut butter. So, you know, all the opinions, it just settles. That's the issue. Does anybody know of a support group for that? Wouldn't that be funny? You're all sitting in a circle and the support group for people loving peanut butter. Hi, my name is Paul LaFontaine, and I've been addicted to peanut butter about since I was 2 years old. We are taught, can I have about 5 more minutes? The reason this is important too is because we are taught in our present modern world through education and the world access to knowledge, we are taught to be thinkers. And we are taught to analyze things to the max. And because of that, then you have what you call overthinkers. Anybody ever heard of that? I know none of you are that. But anyway, you become overthinkers. You overthink things. Overthinking is a pattern of excessive, repetitive thought about a situation or a problem that doesn't lead to solutions, often resulting in anxiety, stress, and feeling of being mentally struck or exhausted. It can stem from factors like the fear of uncertainty, perfectionism, low self-esteem, trauma, and mental health conditions. So it's the number one problem today, mental health conditions, like anxiety and depression. While not a formal disorder, it's not a formal disorder, but overthinking is a common, unpredictable way of thinking that negatively affects well-being and can be addressed through strategies such as mindfulness and journaling and physical exercise and setting limits on worrying. None of that's worked for me, but no, I'm just kidding. That's their suggestions. I got a much better suggestion. Start to live on the thoughts of God. Amen. Start to dwell in the Spirit, following the thoughts of God. Hungry for the thought of God. Amen. So we're overthinkers and we tend to do that. But the biggest problem is when we overthink God's promises. I believe Sarah did that. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God today? Amen. I think I preached the grace of God to you because it takes an enormous amount of grace in that time span, the 70 years with Israel, all this time span, it takes an enormous amount of grace to deal with the Sarahs who are up and down. A couple places, Brother Bram says, as I close, this next quote, that's the reason when Sarah laughed at the angel, said she couldn't be like that, God would have slew that woman right there, but he couldn't hurt her because she's part of Abraham. He would hurt Abraham if he took Sarah. That's the reason our sins today, we'd be everyone condemned, but God can't take us because he does. He hurts Christ. We are part of him. We are the bride. Amen. Don't you see? So there it is. So grace holds us in our mistakes until we can see better.
Amen.
Oh, we ought to say, thank you, Lord. Grace. What's holding us? Grace is holding us in our mistakes until we can see better. Until we see it like the prophet sees it. Glory be to God. I'm so thankful for that, Brother Bram says. And the last place he said in 1962, be not afraid. You know what? God would have took her life right then. That's right, for disbelieving. But he couldn't do it. Why? She was part of Abraham. He would have taken Abraham with her. Oh, that's where grace comes in. All of our mistakes and our errors. God holds us because we are part of Christ. The grace of God holding us. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. He could not take Sarah because he did. He would have to strike Abraham with it. He cannot take the church and all of its mistakes. It is still his church, right? He can't take it because he would take Christ, be part of Christ. She becomes flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. all of our ins and outs and unbeliefs and so forth and scruples, as long as she is into that body and her ups and downs, the grace of God still holds her.
Amen.
God bless you, my friend. Sarah also received strength.
Amen.
How many want his strength?
Amen.
To bring forth the promise. Sarah received, not just Abraham, Sarah. And she really needed it. And her last words were this. She judged him and she said, maybe she sung, he's been faithful, faithful to me. You know why she could conclude and say, and judge and say, I know this one thing at the end of all this. He's faithful.
Amen.
You know why she could say it with a revelation? Because she hadn't been faithful. So she said, you know the conclusion of the whole matter? It's not me. He's faithful. I want to be faithful to him. And I'll do my best. But at the end of the day, it's because he's been faithful.
Amen.
You probably say, he's been faithful. Faithful to me, looking back. His love and mercy I see in my heart. I've had questions, even failed to believe. But he's been faithful, faithful to me. You guys have that on there or not? He's been faithful, faithful to me. Let's stand together. Looking back, his love and mercy I see. In my heart, I've had questions, even failed to believe. He's been faithful, faithful to me. Isn't that beautiful? He says he's holding there, holding us right there in our mistakes until we see it. He's holding us in our mistakes. Something keeps holding me. Can we just turn to one another, brothers to brothers, sisters to brothers, give a hug, and just say, you know what? At the end of the day, he's been faithful to me. He's been faithful. Something keeps holding me a key of Jesus. Hey, he's been faithful. Has he been faithful to you? He's been faithful. Has he been faithful to you? Hey, good to see you, Lucas. He's been faithful. Something keeps holding me. Thank you, Lord. Give it, give it, Lord. herself receive strength. You just, if you want to raise your hand and say, I need his strength this morning. I need that strength that he gave Sarah. I need that. And I know he provided for me. Father, you've been gracious to us, Lord. We look at our lives a different way, Lord. Like Joseph, he looked at his life a different way when he received a revelation of your thoughts. He looked at the hurt and pain from his family. He looked at the division. He looked at all the mistreatment. He looked at it a completely different way. Tender hand of Jehovah. You holding us in our mistakes until we see different, Lord. We love you for that. We thank you, Lord. And these hands that's been raised this morning, I pray your Holy Spirit would go forth into their lives, Lord, and just begin to break open the revelation more and more. Lord, some of us may come slow to it. I feel like I'm that way sometimes. But Lord, I know your grace is there. But just break open more of that revelation. What your thought is about us. What your purpose is for us. What it is, Lord, that you're trying to accomplish in our lives. Help me, Lord, to minister to this man, this atheist, Lord. Help me, God, and use us all. Help us to be lights in this world. Help us to be available. Help us to not categorize anybody, Lord. Just help us to be life givers, I pray. We don't want to die in complaining and bitter and critical. But Lord, we want to go with the light of God shining from us. The glory of God shining from our lives. That's what this message should produce in our lives. Grant it, Father. And I pray that you take all these wonderful saints of God into your hands, Lord, and guide them as you gave Sarah strength. Sarah herself, finally, you gave strength to bring forth. We thank you, Lord. Bring it forth for us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Everybody said amen. God bless you. Brother, pastor, please come and take the service.
He's helping me faithfully.
God bless you.
To overcome my trials. Oh, he's guiding me constantly. Giving me victory. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see faithfully to overcome my trials. I need constantly giving me victory.
How many feel like they've been spoken to today? Yes. It's a comforting thing to know that the grace of God will hold us. And it will keep us there, keep us in that right spot, even when we can't do it ourselves. But if we believe that about ourselves, we have to allow it to work for others as well. And that's what's wonderful. That's what's wonderful.
What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Wonderful name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares. Now revealed.
of your love as you live in me, as you live in me, Lord, my, as your will unfold in my life, living every day. Power of your love. Oh, oh. And let your love surround me. And draw me.
Tell you what, saints of God, he's good to us. Amen. And I will tell you, there's no plumbing the depths of God's grace. You'll never get to the bottom of it. It's almost too good to be true, his grace. It's absolutely an amazing thing. And you know what? I think we should be quick to show grace. And I will tell you this, in my experience, and Paul will, I believe, say the same thing, and you pastors that are here, I'll tell you the same thing, that many times when we watch somebody, maybe they might leave a church or they might walk away, and you know, they have different, they'll give you different reasons for it and so forth. Most often, it's not a problem that they have with the message, and it's not a problem they have with God. Most often it can be a problem with the people or how they were treated in that particular church. And they're not walking away from God, and they're not walking away from the truth of this message, because common sense will tell you a lot of it is absolutely true. And I believe it's important for us to keep the door open, a wedge, in case they maybe have a change of heart. Amen. And they want to come back. Because you can poison someone's testimony in the minds of the people by things that you say when people leave. And I think we should be better than that. I think we should show a lot of grace for people going through different things. Because we really often don't know what people have gone through. And I'll tell you what, I love the thought of grace, and I love how God administers it in his own way. Let's sing this little chorus here as we close this morning.
Draw me close to you. You never let me go. I'd lay it all down again to hear you say, my desire, no one else will do, and nothing else could take your place.
back to you.
Close in prayer. I'm going to invite Brother Aaron to come and pray. And give me seven men here who will come and lay hands on Brother Mike. He's got surgery on Tuesday for cancer. And we want to pray that the Lord will undertake for our Brother Mike. So give me seven brothers here full of the Holy Ghost. And we'll lay hands on Brother Mike. We're going to ask Brother Aaron to pray. We're going to pray for Brother Mike, but I want you also to hold your need on your heart as well. And present that need before God and believe that He hears you when you pray.
Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, Lord, as an assembly, Father, as men that you have called in these last days. Father, we heard through your word that you gave strength to Sarah, our mother in the faith, that you are the strength giver. And Lord, the prophet tells us that you are El Shaddai. Lord, when we are failing, oh God, when we are faced with sickness, we are able to draw strength from thee. Lord, we thank you, Father. We're looking through the last 20 years. How you have walked with us, oh God, with our pastor, with our assembly, with all those things, we recognize that it wasn't a man, but it was Christ who was walking in the midst of the candlesticks. And this morning, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a healer, Lord. As you have, Lord, healed many of our brothers over the years, you are able, oh God, to visit and heal Brother Mike. We thank you, Father, for his faith, for his steadfastness, for his anchor, Lord, to know that no matter how the storm may come, that you are the healer of all our diseases. We lay hands upon him, Lord, accepting and believing upon the word that you said, we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Father, we cast out the spirit of cancer. We bind it, oh God, in the name of Jesus, because you are God that is able to heal every manner and every form of disease. Lord, you said that not even cancer shall stand before us. We thank you this morning, Lord. May you direct the hands of the physicians. Give them wisdom. We are asking for complete deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brothers. God bless you. Thank you. And thank all of you for being here today. We're going to sing this and we're going to let you go this morning. Come back at 5. Brother Jason's going to be ministering. We have some folks that have to leave us today, this morning here, but we have some other folks that are going to be visiting this afternoon. So may God bless you all as we leave today.
You are not a God created by human hand. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can get. And by your plan, that's just the way it is. Oh, you are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're the only God who power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can get. You are God, and that's just the way it is. Well, you are God alone. Time began, you were on your throne, you are God alone, and right now, when the good times are bad, you are on your throne, you are God alone, and you're unchangeable. You're unstoppable, that's who you are. Oh, you're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable, that's who you are. Well, you are God alone, and from before time began, God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne, you are God alone. Hey, you're unchangeable, you're unshakable, oh, you're unstoppable, that's who you are. Well, you're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable, that's who you are. Well, you are God alone, from before time began, you are on your throne, you are God. Our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great.
Is that the wrong key, sister?
Great.
Let's change that key.
How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Oh, well, the splendor of a king, and he wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! Oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God. And the end, beginning and the end, and the bride and Christ are one. Uniting time has come. Soon we're going home. Oh, soon we're going home. How great is our God! Our God. God bless you, church. Sing it as you go.